You're not only all powerful, all knowing Creator God, you are our Father, as we just said. And you are a good God. And you care deeply for each and every one of us. Lord, we're going to look at that this morning in your word. I pray that your powerful living word will have its effect on our hearts. It would change our thinking, our minds, our perspectives. We would walk in obedience to what you promised. We would not reject or oppose or defy what we want to do in our life. We would surrender, relent, and yield to your leash. May you have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Today we're going to look at the extraordinary blessing of being created in God's image and what that means for us. We're also going to look at some harsh realities about our culture's disregard for God's creative work of life. We've already mentioned this morning, we've talked about it. Now, I know this can be a very delicate issue for many who have been affected by this in some way. So therefore, I want to start off today by reminding us of what God desires for his children and what he says about it. I think if we look at the Word of God, there's some hard things in God's Word. And then when we unpack those things, sometimes it's hard to bear. But we have a loving Father, and we need to remember who we are in Christ. Meaning, God desires something for his children. Through our belief, through our repentance and surrender to him, we become a new creation. Not only have we been completely and absolutely forgiven, our record of sin has been erased. This is comfort. The 2 Corinthians 5:21 states, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Meaning, when we put our faith in Christ, he removes all of the sin from our account. He just takes it all away, erases it all, and fills it with the full righteousness of Christ. Which means that it is as if you have never sinned. And even better yet, it's as if you have always obeyed. Can you wrap your mind around that? When we surrender our lives to Christ and he removes all that sin and fills our account with his righteousness, it's as if we've always obeyed, because the righteousness of Christ has been laid on us. That's why he can give us promises like Romans 8:1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There's no condemnation anymore. In Christ, you have no reason to condemn yourself. In Christ, he takes away all of our shame and our guilt, and he replaces it with his acceptance and his joy. In Christ, you are redeemed. You are made whole. You are rescued by his love, and you are covered by his grace. He loves you more than you can imagine. Just say about it. Our Father loves you with an extreme love that we can't wrap our mind around. Now, last Sunday was Sanctity of Human Life Day. And we're going to recognize that today because of where we are in business. Back in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand in all 50 states. And we praise God that after 50 years, it was overturned last year by the Supreme Court and sent back to the states. Although our state has not yet vision, has made no changes to its current law of 26 weeks. That's this little thing. 26 weeks. In 1984, Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designated January 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Churches around the U.S. use this day to celebrate God's gift of life. They use it to commemorate the many lives that are lost to abortion, and they use it to recommit ourselves to protecting human life at every stage of life. Just the baby, those who are even older. Every stage. Ronald Reagan began his proclamation by saying, "The values and freedoms we cherish as Americans rest on our fundamental commitment to the sanctity of human life. The first and unalienable rights affirmed by our Declaration of Independence is the right to life itself. The right the Declaration states has been endowed by the Creator of all human beings, whether young or old, weak or strong, healthy or dangerous." Some of these things are going to be tough. It's tough for all of us. Think about it. Since Roe v. Wade decision in 1973, over 63 million abortions have been reported in the U.S. That equals to 1.25 million. We kill more people through abortion in 1 year than the total number of U.S. military who have lost their lives in all the wars combined in the United States has been involved. Every day we kill more people than were lost in the World Trade Center. Not enough. It might be shocking to you, I don't know, that there's 80%, 86% of all abortions are done to save a human life. 1% of abortions are done to save the life of a mother, and half a percent of abortions are done because of rape. What would the world say about our nation? What would history say about our nation? We kill 63 million of them. History does tell us that any given population or culture needs a birth rate of 2.1% in order just to sustain itself. That means that having a birth rate lower than that will lead to decline of our nation, even eventually total ruin. It will affect every facet of our society, socially and economically. We are now at 1.6%, which has just decreased from the last decade to 1.9. We're not even at a rate to reproduce our population. China is more driven out of times because of the rough economic times, because of the product of the one-child policy, which is setting back to that. How will we get to overcome that? More importantly, than all of that, what is God doing? I have to wonder what judgment may be bringing on this nation for the lives of 63 million babies. I mean, are we fooling ourselves because we put in God and trust on our money? 90% of abortions happen between this age and 6 to 12 weeks. During this age, this little baby has formed his blood vessels and brain, spinal cord, nervous system, his heart is beating. Baby has lungs, eyes, ears, legs, arms, fingers, toes. Even the brain has been divided into parts of emotion, language, and seeing and hearing. We all know what that means. Every abortion at the time stops at beating heart. We talked about last week, science tells us amazing facts about ours, but it can't tell us the lessons. It can't even tell us, it can tell us wonderful things about the human body, but it can't tell us where we are from, where we come from, and why we're so special. We rely on God's word to tell us about the sanctity of human life. As we looked at last week in the first chapters of Genesis, we know that God is the creator of all things, and his greatest creation is humanity. So we want to first look at God, that we are created in God's image. Look there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there. Let me open the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, chapter verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female. On the sixth day after all that God created, he brings forth his greatest creation, mankind. He created man and woman, and here it says he created us in his own image. Not that God is human form, but that being created and not in God's image means that we as human beings share God's nature. Though imperfectly and finitely, we share in his communicable attributes, meaning such as his life and personality and truth and wisdom and love and holiness and justice. We have the capacity to have spiritual fellowship with our Creator. But the whole of God's Word clearly reveals that God created mankind to be in relationship with him. God's whole plan of redemption from beginning to end is that our broken relationship by sin would be restored through Christ. Why is this so important? Being created in the image of God. Because this sets us apart. This makes us special. It makes us unique. Everything, it makes us unlike everything else God created. God, our Creator, knows us, and we have the capacity to know Him as our Father. To me, that is extraordinary. And we should remember that every single day. Every moment of every day, we should remember that. Psalm 139:13 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb." You know what that means? That means that not one single human being on this planet was an accident or a mishap. No matter what decisions we make as human beings, we are marred with a sinful nature. But no matter who your parents were or if your grandparents planned for you or they did not, God was thinking of you before you were made. God knew that the two individuals possessed the exact right DNA, the right genetic makeup that God wanted to use to create you. God's purpose is taking into account human mistakes and even sin. We see it all throughout the Bible. It's not by chance that you are here. You are alive because God wanted to create you. He wanted to create you. Let's listen again to Psalm 139. Let's go 13 to 16. "For you formed my inner parts, you knitted together my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none." Can you wrap your mind around that? God intricately works to create every human being that has ever been and ever will be born. He thought about you and then he created you uniquely. There's no one like you on this planet. He ain't crafted you. And he determined all that will be included in your makeup. Each of us are custom made by the hands of God. And when he created you, he also says here that he planned out works for your life. He said, before any of your days began on this earth, he had plans for you. I have to think about Ephesians 2:10. It just comes to mind. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Every human being is God's masterpiece, created in his image with great thought and purpose and value. But God not only personally handcrafted you when he physically created you in Christ, when we come to Christ, he also makes you a new creation, spiritually. Through our faith in Christ, he gives us new life. He makes us a new creation. Sin brought condemnation and destruction. God brought redemption and life in Christ. The gift of salvation is just the beginning of life for a child of God. It's the beginning of the rest of eternity living with your Creator. God's word makes it clear that every single human being is special in God's eyes. Because we are created in God's image. Each and every human being has great value, great meaning, great purpose, great significance. When sinful human beings cut short the life of a baby, God's plan on this earth for that child's life has been terminated. Personality that God gave them, talents, the abilities he gave them. The place they would be born, the people they would be among, the plans that God had for their lives, the thousands of people they had and impacted their lives. The average person, if they live to be 65, comes in contact with 8,000 people. All of that terminated. Maybe for the sake of everything. That's the state of our culture today. That's the reality of where we live. That's the reality of our nation. And we need it. Face these facts sometimes. We need to look at these as hard as they can be. God says in Acts 17:26 that God made from one man every nation of mankind and lived on the face of the earth, having determined in allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. The scope of God's plans for you is all encompassing. Who were among these 63 men? That's the population of countries like Italy and the UK. Knowing this truth about how God created each person means that we need to be advocates for life, for each and every human being. We need to see people as God sees them, not just the outside, not just what they or what they wear or where they come from. We need to see every single human being as God sees them. We also know God loves every single one of us. And we know from His Word He desires that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. Because of what God teaches us in His Word about the value of life and when it begins, we should celebrate life as soon as we find out our attitude. And that's what I said. As soon as we find out our attitude. So that if someone somehow loses a child, you're not alone in that loss. We have a body of Christ to mourn with us, to encourage us through the loss. Just as it would be for someone who lost a child who was 2 years old. This is not something a person should go through all alone. It's not something that should be dismissed or forgotten or unknown. One of the hardest, most unnatural things in life is to lose a child. And if we believe what God's Word says about life, and when it begins, maybe have lost a child that no one else knows about. How many are living with that pain and that heart? But not only do we see that God is at work in creating life, He has a purpose for mankind. Being created in His own image also means that we're His representatives here on earth. And God gives mankind a purpose and a part to play in His plan for the world. He created us with purpose. Look there at verse 28. And God blessed them. And gave, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God blessed them. And here He revealed a portion of their purpose, part of the purpose in His plan for them. He said, be fruitful and multiply the earth. See, part of their purpose was procreation. The Bible says that children are blessed. Psalm 127:3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb of the Lord. And we now understand that we must create in order to even sustain our own mission. God also gave mankind dominion over His creation. Another part of their purpose, our purpose. Now some of this is where we want involved in saving the world, but part of our responsibility is to have dominion over God's creation. That does not give us the freedom to abuse His creation. Man, as God's representatives, must rule His creation as God does, for their own good, and for the good of others. We're God's representatives on earth to oversee, to take care of His creation and every living thing on the earth as God would. And this especially includes the life of all human beings at all stages of life. Each person is created in God's image, and therefore life is valuable and sacred. It's our responsibility to protect, to guard the lives of every single being. As God's representatives, we must look at people as God looks at people. We need to remember this fact. We are His representatives. God cares deeply about every single human being. And we should too. We need to remember that each person is created. And God loves each person. So much so that He sent His Son to die. He came Himself and died on the cross because He loves us. Taking our place, our punishment of death on Himself. That's extraordinary love. We protect life by standing up for those who can't stand up for themselves. We protect life by caring for those in need, whether young or old. We protect life by making sure that each person has the opportunity to hear and respond to the good news about Christ, the gospel message, the gospel that is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the gospel that gives new birth, the gospel that changes a person's perspective about life and who they are in God's eyes, the gospel that will bring us into intimate fellowship with our Creator. We protect life by spending time with those who are faced with a crisis of what to do with the baby inside of them. We protect life by ministering to those who are dealing with the pain of loss and the loss of a child. They need the love of Christ. They need the truth that will set them free. They need us to be God's holy ambassadors, helping them through the just difficult time in their life. Praise God. I mean, we have three people. Joey also works for the Cardinal Clancy Center. Him and God. We have three people in this body, and we're on the front lines of this battle. And this is a battle. This is a battle for God. It's a battle for what God cares about and desires for every human being. And they need our help. The women they minister to, the families they minister to, need our help. If nothing else, let's pray for them. You know, groups of people have fought for 50 years to see the abortion law lifted. But this fight is just begun. And there's so much more going on. So much more going on than just this. Foundation of man's word, the absence of God. Foundation that man can do whatever he wants to do. That is pushing all of us. And there's any other foundation of God's word. It's truth. Real truth for our lives. And everything we do in things should be based on that. We need to understand God's story. We need to understand his word so that we can fight against that foundation. Because the end result of that is all of these things that we're trying to fight against. Will we as a church stand silent and by, or will we be God's representatives, full of love and compassion and grace and justice? When we meet his ambassadors who represent him in the powerful gospel that we know, that we live by, that we hold to, how does God want you to be involved in standing up for us? Maybe it's volunteering at the Pregnancy Center. Maybe it's ministering to somebody you already know. Maybe it's sharing the gospel with somebody, discipling somebody that you know. In fact, it's God's purpose for all of us to share that truth, to make disciples. It's our responsibility as a church to do that. As a believer, as a follower of Christ. I know these are hard things, but let's take this truth about that God has given us about when he created the image of God. Let's take that to heart. And let's begin to pray and ask God to help us see people as easy as that. God is the outside. Created in the image of God. Those who God loves. Who God wants to save, redeem, bless, prosper, give eternal life.